please place your phone or audio connection on mute until such time you are presenting and asking to speak. When addressing the board, please announce your full name and be sure to speak clearly. Please do not place your phone on hold or leave your audio unattended. If you need to leave the meeting, please hang up or disconnect your meeting web link, and then dial back or click the web link posted on the agenda to rejoin the conference. All righty. We have like 1 more minute. Please put your phones on mute right now. Welcome, or your tablets. Welcome to Mission Academy. It's a regular board meeting. It's Friday, June 3rd, 2022 at 12 o'clock. This meeting is held in compliance with Assembly Bill 361, which allows flexibility in Brown Act teleconferencing procedures as addressed by the board under Agenda Item IE. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line or by clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments@missionacademyhs.org. The public may also provide comments telephonically during the public comments section of the meeting agenda. As a reminder, by state law, SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter school's website. So we're going to open up and call the meeting to order and establish a quorum. So we'll do roll call. Carol Stanford, present. Claudette Beck?
Present.
Mike Malloy? Mike Malloy?
Present.
Good. John Dortch?
Present.
Present.
Barbara Willebrand.
Present.
All right, so we do have a quorum. And we're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance, and we'll ask John Dortch to lead us through that. Everyone else, put your computer on mute.
My pleasure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, John. All right, so now we're going to go into staff introductions. We'll start with corporate officers.
Thank you very much, Madam President and board members. Good afternoon. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Welcome, Jeff. And Jerry Vincent.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Jerry Vincent, corporate officer.
All right, and now school staff.
Good afternoon, Lindsay Reese, area superintendent.
And this is Jenna Yunus, principal of Mission Academy.
Good afternoon, this is Jeff Martineau, vice president, charter relations.
All right, school legal counsel.
Yes, good afternoon, Bill Thompson, legal counsel.
All right. Any advisors who are supporting agenda items or presenting?
Hello, board. This is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with LLAC.
Hi, this is Michelle Lopez, counsel with LLAC.
All right. Any other staff who wishes to introduce themselves? Now is the time. All right. Welcome to everyone. Glad that you're all here. So now we're going to go to 1E, adopt resolution continuing Board of Directors authority to hold virtual or teleconference meetings pursuant to Assembly Bill 361. Jeff Martineau.
Thank you, President Stanford and board members. In your board packets, you will find the resolution for continuing Board of Directors authority to hold virtual or teleconference meetings pursuant to Assembly Bill 361. Assembly Bill 361 was signed by Governor Newsom on September 16, 2021, and allows boards to continue to meet remotely as determined by majority vote during states of emergency, as long as the board makes required findings every 30 days that meeting in person would present imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees. It is recommended the board make the required findings by adopting the enclosed board resolution. Are there any questions from the board?
there are no questions, can I have a motion and a second to adopt 1E?
John Dortch, move to approve.
Barbara Willebrand, second.
Mike Malone, make a motion.
John Dortch has moved. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So it's unanimous that 1E has been approved. So now we're on 1F. Approve agenda for the June 3rd, 2022 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. So I need a motion and a second to approve 1F.
Barbara Willebrand moved.
Claudette Beck second.
Barbara Willebrand has moved.
Second.
Claudette Beck is seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy? Mike, I think you're going to have to call in on your phone because your computer is delaying you.
Yeah, I'm going to call in on the phone.
Okay, will you vote right now? All right, okay. Thank you. John Dortch?
I'm going to call in.
All right, good. John Dortch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1F has been approved unanimously. So now we're on 1G. Approved minutes of the May 16, 2022 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. I assume everyone has read this. Are there any corrections or discussion? And if not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 1G?
Barbara Willebrand moved.
Claudette Beck.
John Dorst.
Okay, so Barbara Willebrand moved. Claudette Beck seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy? He's getting on right now. So we'll go ahead and go to John Dortch.
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So there are four votes for, and John Dortch is trying to get on the line. So now we're on, so it's passed. We're on consent items too. All
yeah.
items. Will-
yeah, Carol, we'll just show four ayes, one yes.
Okay.
Mike Malloy.
Wasn't sure how to say that. All right. We're getting some feedback. All right.
It is now joining.
Put your phone on mute. Alrighty, so now we're in consent items. All items listed under consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. It is A1. The board will be asked to accept the uniform complaint report for the 21-22 school year, and there are zero complaints received. Is there anyone on the board who would like to table this or have further discussion? And if not, can I have a motion and a second to approve consent items A1?
Mike Malloy will make a motion.
Barbara Willebrand, second.
That's great. All right. So Mike Malloy motioned and Barbara Willebrand seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
All right, so that has been passed unanimously. And we're moving, going smooth here. Now, public comment 3. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board. Whether or not the item is on the agenda, by dialing the teleconference line or by clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it's the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Is there anyone on the line from the public who would like to introduce themselves or make a comment? And if not, Shelley, has anyone contacted you?
Hi, this is Shelley Sands from the Charter Affairs team to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
All right. Thank you so much, Shelley. So now we're moving to four, school reports and information. And this is Jenna Yunus.
Hello, Board, and thank you for having me on today. I wanted to provide some brief updates. I know that our area superintendent, Lindsay Reese, gave a fairly comprehensive summary of our local control and accountability for the 21-22 school year last board meeting. So today I'm just going to share, again, some brief updates. Our enrollment as of June 1st was 441 students. To give you some perspective on our growth this school year, our enrollment on July 1st, 2021, at the start of the school year, was 324 students. So we have more than 100 students than we had at the start of the school year. I want to let you know that we have sent our master agreements for the 22-23 school year, and those are out for signatures now. We anticipate more than 95% of our students will return. We have had some students tell us that they plan to go back to a brick and mortar school, but we know, how those plans change. And so, as I said, we anticipate continued growth for the next school year as well. We have just wrapped our state testing season. Our CASP percentages of participation in English language arts and mathematics, as well as science, were above 90%. So more than 90% of our students participated in these exams. We did test remotely, and our English language performance assessment as well has wrapped for the testing season, if you will, and we also had more than 90% participation on that English learner exam. We met with our authorizer recently in the spring 2022, I believe it was March, and the authorizer liaison. We are going to meet again June 9th, next Friday, to review our year-end metrics and the LCAP report that was shared with the board last month's meeting. In 2022-2023, we are looking forward to our Trauma Resilient Educational Communities accreditation and our Western Association of Schools and Colleges visit and accreditation. Our WASC visit is February 27th through March 1st, 2023. So I know this will be our best year yet. Thank you for all of the support you've given, and look forward to future updates and great news in the future.
Thank you so much. All right. Any questions from the board for Jenna? That was a good report. Okay, let's go on then to 4B, report on mathematics placement results. Lindsay.
Yes. Thank you, President Stanford. The board will find this policy on page 20 of their board packets. The California Mathematics Placement Act of 2015 required our board to adopt a fair and objective, transparent mathematics placement policy before the beginning of the 2016 school year. The policy addresses students entering ninth grade and includes several required elements to ensure equity in student achievement, including the following. It considers multiple objective academic measures, includes at least one placement checkpoint within the first month of the school year to ensure accurate placement and to permit reevaluation of individual student progress, requires an annual examination of pupil placement data to ensure that students are not held back in a disproportionate manner based on their race, ethnicity, gender, or socioeconomic background, requires an annual report to be provided to the governing board, hence we're here today, offers clear and timely recourse for each pupil and their parent or legal guardian who questions the student's placement, and requires a policy be posted on our school's website. Next slide. For the 21-22 school year, our math placement for ninth graders fell into three categories. 7.3% of ninth grade math students placed in remedial math courses, 72.7% of ninth grade math students placed in Algebra 1, which is considered grade level, and 20% of ninth grade math students placed in Geometry or Algebra 2, which is considered advanced. Slide 3. Click it again so the metric will come up, I think. There it goes. 92.7% of ninth grade Mission Academy students are at or above grade level in mathematics, which is impressive considering the challenges faced by all students throughout the state and the nation due to the pandemic. All ninth grade students progressed in their math courses and none were held back. We will continue to evaluate the data and report to the board next year pursuant to our board's policy. This concludes my report on the math placement policy.
This is Board President Stanford. Those are some impressive numbers. Wow.
Absolutely.
I'm very pleased. Very good numbers.
Yes, that is very impressive. Any other comments for the board members? I mean, it's wow. That's a comment. All right, let's go on then. We're going to go to 4C, LCFF, Local Indicators Report for the school year. Lindsay.
Thank you again. This policy is on page 22 of your board packet. All schools in California must measure and report on key local indicators, which are based on 5 of the LCFF state priorities. We use the CDE self-reflection tools to determine if the performance standard was met or not met. The results will be uploaded to the dashboard this fall. Mission Academy met the criteria for the following indicators. Priority number 1 ensures that all students are assigned to appropriately credentialed teachers and that all students have access to their own instructional materials. We are pleased to report that we have met the criteria for this priority as evidenced by 0% total teacher misassignments and the fact that every student has access to standards-aligned instructional materials. Priority number 2 ensures we are making progress implementing state academic standards and that we are providing professional development to our teachers. Overall, the school scored a 3.98 out of 5, which is full implementation of adopted academic or curriculum frameworks. This is a 0.16 increase from last year. We are pleased to report that Mission Academy met the criteria for this priority as well. Parent engagement is the focus for priority number 3. Using the self-reflection tool, the school is rated on a scale of 1 to 5 in 3 key areas: building relationships, building partnerships for student outcomes, and seeking input for decision making. We will discuss this in more depth when I review the annual survey results next. In brief, for each of the 3 key areas above, parents overwhelmingly responded favorably. Thus, we are pleased to report that Mission Academy met the criteria for priority number 3. Priority 6 evaluates our school climate. According to annual survey results, 100% of our students reported that they felt safe at school. 98% reported that they felt connected to an adult at our school. This is a significant achievement in light of the fact that many of our students have had traumatic experiences during the pandemic and in their prior schooling experience. We strive to create an inclusive, collaborative, trauma-informed environment where all students feel like they can thrive. Due to the positive results of the school climate survey, we are pleased to report that Mission Academy met the criteria for priority number 6. And last but not least, priority number 7 measures progress, ensuring all students have access to a broad course of study. Due to the nature of our independent study program, students are able to access the courses they need to graduate. We also provide specific support classes for students working to improve English language development and students with exceptional needs. Students are placed in courses that ensure they not only meet the requirements for their high school diploma, but also post-graduation goals. We're happy to report that we have met the criteria for priority number 7. This concludes my presentation on the LCFF Local Indicators Report. I will now open it up for any questions or comments from the board.
This is Board President Stanford. It looks good. Any comments from the other board members? Okay, I like these studies. That's good. All right, we're going to go then to D, School Survey Report, and that's you again, Lindsay.
You're going to hear a lot from me today, so get used to it.
We're good.
Okay, so the school survey results can be found on pages 38 through 64 in your board packet. Every year, we conduct a school climate survey aligned with our LCAP goals. This year, some additional survey questions were included on social-emotional learning, academics, future goals, and civic engagement. Next slide. So 105 students, 80 parents, and 32 staff members completed the survey, which is good. It's not all of our students, and we will work to increase that participation rate in future years, but it's still a good subset and can give us a good idea of how we're doing. To highlight a few important data points, I'm not going to go through it all because there's a lot there, but 100% of our students feel safe, 88% feel connected to their teachers, and 100% are satisfied with the amount of time they're spending with their teachers. 98% of students feel connected to adults at our school. 97% have felt like there was an adult they could go to for help, and 100% felt the school encouraged their progress towards graduation. Our parent survey surveyed families on their background information, safety and connection, time and interaction, communication and engagement, and local indicators feedback metrics for building relationships, student outcomes, and seeking input for decision making. So I'm going to focus on the local indicator priorities. So just remember that's what I just referenced on the last item regarding the LCF indicators report for number 3, I think, or number 4. It was based on this survey feedback on the next few slides. So for local indicator priority number 3, building relationships, 93% of parents felt the school staff can build trusting and respectful relationships with families. 93% of our parents felt the school created a welcoming environment for families. 98% felt the school supports staff to learn about their family's strengths, culture, languages, and goals for their children. And 94% felt there were multiple opportunities for two-way communication between the school and families. The next is for local indicator for priority number three is the second element, which is building relationships for student outcomes. 94% felt the school was making progress providing information and resources to support student learning and development at home. 99% felt the school was making progress in implementing policies or programs for teachers to meet with families and students to discuss student progress and ways to work together to support improved student outcomes. And last, the third element of the local indicator for priority number three, seeking input for decision making. 93% of felt that the school made progress in building the capacity of and supporting our principal and staff to effectively engage families in advisory groups and decision making. 91% felt the school made progress in building the capacity of and supporting family members to engage in advisory groups and decision making. And 91% felt the school provided all families with opportunities for input on policies and programs and implementing strategies to reach and seek input from underrepresented groups. I think that these metrics are really important because as a virtual school, I think engaging families is extra challenging than a so-called brick and mortar site where parents can walk on site anytime. So to feel that, for parents to feel that they have 91% of them feel like they have a say in what's going on in our schools, I think is very promising and a very positive outcome considering we're a virtual school. And then lastly, the staff were surveyed on their background as a teacher, school climate, academics, and social-emotional learning, communication and engagement, leadership perception, professional development, and partnerships. A few insights. 98% of staff reported feeling safe at school. 99% felt connected to the school. 97% felt welcomed and like their voice was heard. Next slide. Again. 97% of staff felt like school leaders were empathetic with students and staff. 97% felt encouraged to share ideas and best practices. And 100% felt school leaders support risk-taking and innovation in teaching, retention, and academic progress. This valuable school data will be used by the school leadership team to drive instructional and climate goals for the new school year. This survey data is essential to our continuous cycle of improvement, and we look forward to partnering with students, parents, and staff to continue to improve our schools. This concludes my presentation. Are there any questions or comments from the board?
Thank you, Lindsay. This is President Stanford. Those are really impressive. Your parents feel really safe, and sounds like everybody feels real connected, kind of like, even though it's virtual, it's kind of like a little family online. I like it. I like that. Any other comments? All right, so we're going to move to E, annual IRS Form 990, return of organizational exempt form from tax and a California return for 2020 as filed. Geeta, our finance lady.
Hello, board. This is Geeta with LLAC. So the full board has received a copy of the Form 990 before it was filed, which was due on May 15th, 2022. The Form 990 was on extension. Original deadline was November 15th, but the school always has to receive extension because the audit has to be completed before the Form 990 is completed. So I just wanting to inform the board that the return was filed timely before the deadline. And if there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Geeta. This is Board President Stanford. We always want to be timely, and we appreciate all the hard work that you get us there. Thank you. Any other comments from the board? If not, let's go to F, finance update. Lindsay.
Thank you. I'm mute. At this time, I would like to ask Geeta to provide the finance update. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay. So if the board can refer, please, to the PDF packet, page 68. You can also see it on the screen. This document is an updated document for Harmony Financial. Line of credit is updated as of May 23rd, 22. This is for the board's information purposes. So it reflects the line of credit for the school at $1 million, the expiration date September 30th, 2022, the current interest rate, which was updated from the last update from 4% to 4.5%, and how that's calculated is a prime rate plus 0.5%. So that's higher than the 3.75%. That's the current rate that the bank will charge. It also shows the balance that if there was any loans drawn from the account, the line of credit, which is zero for the school. Also, it shows the covenant ratios. These are the requirements that we have to calculate in order to show to the bank that the school meets all the requirements so they can continue receiving and tapping into the line of credit if necessary. So this is just for your information. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gita. Any questions from the board? All right. Thank you so much. So we're going to move into G, Area Superintendent Performance Review Evaluation Tool for School Year 2022-23. Jeff Martinell.
Thank you, Board President Stanford and board members. In your board package, you will find a draft for the 2022-2023 Area Superintendent Evaluation Tool for your consideration of use for the 2022-2023 school year. As indicated in the Area Superintendent Evaluation Policies and Procedures approved during the 2020-2021 school year, the attached draft Area Superintendent Evaluation Tool has been developed and reviewed in collaboration with the corporate officers and Area Superintendent and is provided to you for additional feedback and recommendations. The evaluation tool is comprised of four focused areas of performance: Focus Area 1, Governance and Board Relations; Focus Area 2, School, Family, and Community Relations; Focus Area 3, Business and Finance; and Focus Area 4, Instructional Leadership. These four areas help drive school improvement and student achievement, develop a positive relationship between the board and area superintendent, demonstrate accomplishments of the charter, and set annual priorities. At this time, I welcome any input or feedback that the board may have. Thank you.
This is Board President Stanford. I look forward to August when we get to go and have a big meeting with Lindsay and go through all the stuff. It was fun last time, and we learned a lot, so that was great. Any other questions for the board members? All right. In the back of me, my telephone is recording a message. I'm sorry. Okay, so we're going to move from that to public hearing. And I'm going to open a public hearing, and to do that, I need a motion and a second to open it.
Mike Malayo, make a motion.
John Dorch, second. All right. Well, we're going to have Mike Malloy make the motion, John Dorch, second. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So we have a unanimous vote that we're going to open this public hearing. The board will hold a public hearing to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the budget overview for parents and local control accountability plan, the LCAP, for the 22-23 school year. The public hearing is now open at 12:27. The board has allotted 15 minutes for this public hearing. Members of the public shall have 3 minutes each to address the board during this hearing. The board may extend this time upon majority vote. The board will first hear a presentation from Lindsay Reese, Area Superintendent.
Perfect. Please see pages 98 through 177 of your board packet. The budget overview for parents includes information on the local control funding formula revenues, supplemental and concentration grants, and state funds. The budget overview for parents demonstrates to the public and parents that the school directed its funds in 2021-2022 towards increasing or improving service and meeting the needs of the school community, while also directing funding for its high need students, such as low-income students, English learners, foster youth, and homeless students. On page 98, next slide, you will see the projected revenue chart, which explains the projected revenue for the school by each fund source. As mentioned before, this takes into account LCFS funds with both supplemental and concentration grants, and local and state and federal funds. The chart not only lists the amount from each funding source, but also the percentage of the total revenue for that source. The total revenue projected for Mission Academy is $10,841,820, of which $9,942,127 is local control funding formula. $854,693 is other state funds. There are zero local funds and $45,000 in federal funds. Of the $9,942,127 in LCFF funds, $1,483,441 is generated based on the enrollment of high-needs students, like foster youth, English learners, and low-income students. On page 99, you will see a chart for the budgeted expenditures in the Local Control Accountability Plan. Mission Academy plans to spend $9,601,793 for the 22-23 school year. Of that amount, $8,669,264 is tied to actions and services in the LCAP. The 22-23 LCAP begins on page 108 of your packet. The successes in the LCAP are a result of data analysis, input from the school community, and input from the school board. Successes for the 21-22 school year include NWA math quantile scores increased 87 points from 812 to 909. The attendance rate increased 16.98% from 70.5% to 87.48%. Phenomenal. The dropout rate decreased 6.5% from 15% to 8.5%. The success rate increased 4.9% from 86.1% to 91%. And credit completion increased 0.73 from 2.3 to 3.03. Slide 23, identified needs for the 21-22 school year. Improved academic performance on state-mandated tests, for example, 42% of students met or exceeded standards on the ELA CAS, 20% of students met or exceeded standards on the math CAS, EL, low-income foster youth, and students with disabilities scored below the all-student group on the CAS for both ELA and mathematics. So we have some work to do on state testing. We also need to work on improving academic performance as measured by NWA reading. The reading lexile scores decreased slightly from 1055 to 1047, and we need to work on our EL reclassification rate. The EL reclassification rate is below the state average of 8.6, despite an increase from 4% to 7% this year, so we're moving in the right direction. We went from 4% to 7%, but we're still not at the state minimum or state average of 8.6%. Educational partners include parents, classified and certificated staff, students, student advocates, caseworkers, and school partners. Educational partners were offered a variety of activities to engage with school leadership and shared decision-making, including PAC, ELAC meetings, awards nights, quarterly parent-teacher conferences, classified and certificated staff meetings, surveys, weekly academic advisor meetings, virtual workshops, community events, teacher office hours, and PLC meetings. The impact of educational partner engagement includes the following. Parents requested more post-secondary support, so funds were increased for Goal 2, Action 1. Certificated and classified staff expressed the importance of attendance and retention, resulting in increased funds for Goal 3, Action 1. Students requested additional one-on-one academic support, resulting in increased funds for Goal 1, Action 2. And students requested additional one-on-one social-emotional support, so funds were increased for Goal 1, Action 4. For a quick review, the following are the proposed goals for the 22-23 LCAP. Number one, increased academic progress. This is a focus goal for increasing academic progress for all students, especially English language learners, low-income, and foster youth who struggled during the previous year. In the next 3 years, we will have mitigated the negative impact learning loss had on our students, and we will see improvement in NWA, EL reclassification, credit completion, and graduation rates. Number two, students will gain skills for college and career readiness. This is a broad goal for helping students gain skills for college and career readiness for all students, including low-income, English learner, and foster youth. Number three is to increase student retention. This is a maintenance goal for student retention. It is designed to continue the success we have had with addressing student disengagement from their schooling and supporting their decision to either rematriculate or graduate through our program. We have a safe and welcoming school climate, which effectively encourages students to remain engaged in the schooling experience. And finally, number four is to increase educational partner engagement. This is a maintenance goal for increasing engagement. We believe in parent participation along with students' academic progress, and we believe parents should be encouraged to participate in meaningful ways to promote positive school outcomes. We worked with the finance team to allocate funds to support these goals and actions. A breakdown of the budgeted items is available in your board packet starting on page 146 through 149. We are excited to launch into the new school year as we continue to focus on these goals and metrics to improve the quality of education that our school offers. I would like to take this opportunity to ask for any questions or comments the board or public may have on the budget overview for parents and the LCAP for the 22-23 school year.
This is Board President Stanford. You think that it took us like 2 years to basically get over COVID? Is that kind of what you were saying, the third year we were going to start?
Well, by year three, we're hoping to see some mitigation of learning loss. We're hoping anything can happen, but yeah, we're working on it. Everything's trending in the right direction. So to be honest, I think we'll be there sooner than later. All of our numbers are showing positive increases where we want them. They're showing decreases, like in the dropout rate, where we want it. So all in all, we're headed in the right direction.
That's great. Any other board members? All right. The board will now solicit recommendations and comments from members of the public on the budget overview for parents and local control accountability plan, LCAP, for the 22-23 school year. Are there any members of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comment? And are there any members of the public who submitted written comment to the board? Shelley.
Hi, this is Shelley Sands from the Charter Affairs team, here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
All right, thank you, Shelley. So now we need a motion and a second to close our public hearing.
Barbara Willebrand moves.
Claudette Beck second.
Thank you, ladies. Barbara Willebrand has moved. Claudette Beck has seconded. We'll vote. Cheryl Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So it's a unanimous decision that we close our public hearing. The public hearing is now closed at 12:35 p.m. All right, thank you, everyone. So now we're going to go to action items. This is six. The board will be asked to confirm its acknowledgement that Carol Stanford, Claudette Beck, Mike Malloy, John Dorch, and Barbara Willebrand have been reappointed as members of the Board of Directors by Educational Advancement Corporation, the sole member of the Alta Vista Public Charter, Inc., for the term July 1st, 2022 through June 30th, 2023. And we all want to thank you for that. Is there any discussion on us all being reappointed for another year? All right, can I have a motion and a second to approve ourselves?
Claudette Beck will make a motion.
Barbara Willebrand second.
So Claudette Beck has motion. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. And we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6A has been approved unanimously. And thank you, everyone. Now we're on 6B. The board will be asked to approve the amended conflict of interest code. Jeff Martineau.
Thank you, President Stanford and board members. In your board packets, you will find the Fair Political Practices Commission, or FPPC, approved amended conflict of interest code for Alta Vista Public Charter, Inc., which operates Mission Academy. This is the same conflict of interest code that I provided updates on to the board earlier this year. As a reminder, the FPPC is the state agency which oversees Form 700s and ensures that officials are making decisions in the best interests of the public. In addition, because Alta Vista Public Charter, Inc. has jurisdiction of office in multiple counties, the FPPC directly oversees the conflict of interest code. At this time, it is recommended the board approve the amended Alta Vista Public Charter, Inc. conflict of interest code. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you, Jeff. Any questions? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6B?
Mike Malloy, motion.
Oh, sorry, Mike Malloy motioned and John Dorch second. Is that right? All right.
Correct.
We're going to vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6B has been approved unanimously. Now on 6C, the board will be asked to reauthorize the corporate officers and senior administration to make all reasonable and necessary business arrangements and enter into all, let's All reasonable necessary business arrangements and enter into all reasonable necessary transactions, including but not limited to contracts with vendors, employees, consultants, and others. This is for me. Is there any discussion that we need on that? And if not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6C?
Barbara Willebrand move.
Claudette Beck second.
All right, so Barbara Willebrand has moved. Claudette Beck has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So it's been approved unanimously for 6C. So now we're on 6D. The board will be asked to reauthorize the corporate officers to award discretionary incentives to employees at various sundry times. We do this pretty much seasonally. Are there any questions or discussions about this? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6D?
Barbara Willebrand move.
Claudette Beck second.
Barbara Willebrand has moved. Claudette Beck has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6D has been approved unanimously. We're now on 6E. The board will be asked to approve the local control funding formula, LCFF, for school year 22-23, which drives the primary source of funding for the charter school. Geeta.
Hello, board. So the local control funding formula, or the LCFF, is the primary source of funding for charter schools. This funding has two primary components, the base rate that applies to all schools that depend exclusively on ADA by grade span, and a supplemental and concentration component that depends on the percentage of schools' English learners, foster youth, or low-income students. The LCFF calculation is the largest source of unrestricted revenue for the school, and it's essential in developing the budget and the LCAP. For fiscal year 22-23, the LCFF formula will provide a total of $9,942,127 of revenue. This total includes a base funding of $8,458,686, or 85% of the local of the total LCFF funding. The supplemental and concentration portion is $1,483,441, or 15% of the total LCFF funding. This concludes my report on the LCFF for 22-23. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
This is Board President Stanford. Thank you, Geeta. Any questions from the board? If not, can we have a motion and a second to approve 6C?
Barbara Willebrand move.
Claudette Beck second.
So Barbara Willebrand has moved. Claudette Beck has seconded. We'll vote. Carol? Aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
6E has been approved unanimously, so we're on to 6F. The board will be asked to approve the Education Protection Account, EPA spending determinations. Geeta.
Thank you, board. So the EPA funding is also a component of the school's total LCFF entitlement. As shown on the budget report, which I will review on the agenda later, that's included in the LCFF sources section on page 2 of the budget form 62, and it's referenced as object code 8012. For this current fiscal year, the school will receive EPA revenue of $104,594. For next fiscal year, 22-23, the estimated EPA revenue is based on the latest LCFF calculator and is calculated currently at $160,034. And this funding must be used for instructional purposes and be posted on the school's website annually, which is posted on a regular basis. Thank you so much. If there's any questions on the EPA account, please let me know. I'll be happy to respond. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Geeta, so much. This is Board President Stanford. Any other questions from the board members about the EPA account? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6F?
Sure,
John Dortch, move to approve.
Mike Malloy, second.
Thank you, gentlemen. John Dortch has moved. Mike Malloy has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
And Barbara Wildebrand?
Aye.
So 6F has been approved unanimously. 6G, the board will be asked to approve the budget for the 22-23 fiscal year. Gita.
Thank you, board. So the preparation of the school's budget is based on the funding information from the governor's May revision to the state budget, and it will be adjusted in the future if there are any changes to the budget when it's signed in June of 2022 or any subsequent revisions during the summer. Obviously, we'll bring it back to the board for revision, if any. The funding projections for next fiscal year include a COLA of 6.56% to the LCFF funding rate compared to the prior year. This is the highest COLA that we've seen since the inception of the LCFF funding formula. There are additional $2.1 billion included in the May revision state budget that will be allocated to the base rate of the LCFF formula. However, there is no clarity on how it will look like or the impact to the funding rate for the school, so it is not included in the development of the budget at this moment. The May revision also has state budget. On the state budget, it includes about $8 billion for one-time discretionary grants. However, again, there is no detail on what these grants will look like at this moment, and therefore this potential additional funding will be added to the school's budget in the future revision. This year, you will see a slightly different appearance of the report. You can find the report in your packet as well on pages 88 to 96. And this is a new look from the California Department of Education because they implemented a web-based application to the report for the school financials. The sections of the reports remain to be the same, except the numbering are different from the prior report. If you prefer last section of the Form 62 that shows the ADA information. The ADA for the current year reflects 522 ADA, and the ADA projection of reflects 800 for next fiscal year, 22-23. The school is projecting an ADA increase of 278 ADA, which will have a positive effect in most ADA-based funding sources. On the first page of the report, at the beginning, on Form 62, you can see that we start with the revenue section. For next year, it's budgeted at $10.8 million for the school. This shows an increase of 38% compared to the current fiscal year. This increase is due to several factors. You see that there are a variety of budget line items. The revenue from the LCFF sources section is projected to increase $6 million this year to from $6 million this year to $9.9 million next year. This is due to combination of an increase in LCFF funding rate of the COLA, 6.56%, and the increase in projected ADA, showing a total increase of 63%. In the LCFF fund. Federal funding is budgeted at $45,000. This shows a substantial decrease of 94% compared to the current fiscal year, and this is slightly just due to the absence of one-time revenue from the PPP loan forgiveness that school received in this current year, but it's not going to be repeated for next year. The school budgeted other state revenue of $854,000. This shows a small decrease of 1.3% from current year, and it is due to a combination of factors, including absence of one-time revenue from educator block grant and A to G grant that the school again received this fiscal year and will not receive in 22-23. Also, lottery revenue will increase due to higher ADA, and state debt funding will also increase due to projected increase in ADA and increase in funding rate for SPED from $715 per ADA to $820 per ADA. Lastly, the school is not projecting local revenue at this moment, so there is a natural reduction comparing it to current fiscal year. On the expense side, the school is budgeting total expenditure of $9.6 million. The budget reflects an increase in salaries and benefits by 26.9%. This includes an increase in most categories, such as teachers, certificated support and administrative spending, classified instructional and support positions. Purchasing spending is budgeted at $946,000, showing an increase of 50% compared to current fiscal year. This comes from a noticeable increase on materials and supplies and a small decrease in equipment spending. Budget for total operating expenses is $2.3 million, an increase of 52% compared to the current fiscal year. This increase comes primarily from increase in budgeted spending in training and professional services. The school is budgeting for an excess revenue of $1.2 million for 22-23. With this excess revenue and the current year end projected net position of $1.4 million, the school will end up the fiscal year 22-23 with a projected net position of $2.7 million, which is 28% of the total budgeted expenditures. Of this ending balance, $198,639 will be restricted reserve and will be spent in subsequent years following the program and spending plans for the educator block grant as well as the A2G grant. So this concludes my report for the budget for 22-23. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you so much.
President Stanford, I think you're muted.
Yes, I am. It's a club. I had to join. All right. I'm sorry. So my question is, what about the $8 million discretionary funding? Is that kind of a mystery money, or do we know what's going to happen with that?
Yeah,
that $8 million is the one-time discretionary grant. So those are the grants. Like, for example, this fiscal year, we had several one-time funding for the school. They're not identified yet, so we don't know the dollar amount and the purpose or the restriction for those grants that the school will qualify for. So that's why we're waiting for more details. So as soon as we know those dollar amounts and the purpose of those grants, we'll include those in the future revisions for the budget.
Thank you. That's a lot of money. That's really interesting. All right. Any other questions from the board? And if not, can I have a motion and a second to approve G?
Barbara Willebrand move.
Claudette Beck second.
So Barbara Willebrand has moved. Claudette Beck has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So thank you, Gita. G is approved unanimously. So now we're on H. The board will be asked to approve the budget overview for parents and local control accountability plan, the LCAP, for the 22-23 school year. Lindsay.
Yep. So unless there's any other questions or comments from the board, I would just like to ask you to approve the budget overview for parents and the local control and accountability plan for 22-23.
Any questions? Otherwise, a motion and a second, please.
John Dorch, move.
Mike Malloy, second.
John Dorch has moved. Mike Malloy has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So H has been approved unanimously. So now we're on to I. The board will be asked to approve the consolidated application process and submission for all reports required for the 22-23 school year. Lindsay.
Thank you. Yeah, the consolidated application, which some of you may have heard of referred to as the CONAP, is used by the California Department of Education to distribute categorical funds for various federal programs to county offices, school districts, and directors. charter schools throughout California. Annually, each local education agency, using the consolidated application and reporting system, submits the spring release of the CONAP and documents participation in these programs and provides assurances that the LEA will comply with the legal requirements of each program. Program entitlements are determined by formulas contained in the laws that created the program. This year, the CDE has delayed the opening for the 22-23 CONAP reporting until July 1st, with a deadline of approximately 6 weeks after the opening. The school will file on time once the reporting system has been released by the CDE. We are recommending that the board approve the CONAP process and submission for all reports for the school for the 22-23 school year.
All right. Any questions? If not, can we have a motion and a second to approve I?
Barbara Willebrand move.
Claudette Beck second.
Barbara Willebrand move. Claudette Beck has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So it's unanimous that we have approved I. So now we're on to J. The board will be asked to renew a revolving line of credit, RLOC, from Hamney Bank for the 22-23 school year as needed to maintain adequate cash flow pursuant to the RLOC provisions. Geeta.
Thank you, board. So in the prior years, the school has had the opportunity to obtain financing through Hamney Bank, which is the bank for the school. They offer a line of credit at very competitive interest rates. This request has been approved by the board annually since fiscal year 18-19. So for next fiscal year, 22-23, the school is requesting the approval of $1 million standard line of credit from Hamney Bank. The interest rate is the highest of the 3.75% or prime rate plus 0.5%. Currently, the highest of the two is prime rate, which is at 4%. Plus 0.5%, setting the rate at 4.5%. This concludes my request for the revolving line of credit with Hamney Bank. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Geeta. We're watching the percentages go up a little bit here. Any questions from the board? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve J?
Mike Malloy will make a motion.
Barbara Willebrand second.
Mike Malloy has motion. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So J has been approved unanimously. So we're now down to K. The board will be asked to approve obtaining a loan from LLAC during the 22-23 fiscal year as needed to maintain adequate cash flow pursuant to promissory note provisions with applicable interest. Geeta.
Thank you, board. So this is another short-term financing alternative that the school uses to meet short-term cash needs. You can find the promissory note. You can see it on the screen. You can also find it in your packet on pages 178 to 181. It is a low-interest alternative and allows the school to access additional funds if other financing sources are not available, more expensive, or not sufficient, and help the school to keep the financing costs low. The amount approved for the promissory note between the school and the LLAC will be the maximum borrowing during the fiscal year. For fiscal year 22-23, the school is requesting approval to borrow up to $500,000 from LLAC if needed. The interest rate is a fixed rate at 4% for the full 12 months of the fiscal year. And that concludes my request for the loan from LLAC. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Geeta. Any questions from the board? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve K?
Barbara Willebrand move.
Claudette Beck second.
John Dortch,
sorry. Well, Barbara Willebrand has moved. Claudette Beck has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6K has been approved unanimously. So now we're on 7, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. To start with you, Mr. Brown.
Well, thank you very much, President Sanford. I want to congratulate the staff and the folks over there that provided all this information for us. Incredible. Jenna's update report, that's great growth. That is wonderful growth, especially right after this time and this period that we've just gone through with the COVID-19 confusion. Well done. Testing, over 90% tested. That, again, is showing the dedication that's being put forth by this staff. I want to, incidentally, President Staff, but I want to echo your stunning 92.7% math. That is so unusual to see that grade. I mean, that is just wonderful. It's outstanding. I just can't believe it. We come to the LCFF reports. All priorities were met, and that again shows the work and the dedication of that staff. Student survey, staff survey, it shows communication is working. The kids feel safe, the staff feels safe, and they communicate with each other. So this is why growth is there. This concern some of these students are going to go back to their regular schools. Not for long. I'm saying that, please don't quote me. I want to take a moment here to really thank LLAC CFO Glitter for her financial reporting. I mean, and she does it with a good attitude. She does it with a smile, and it's so much work. Glitter, thank you so much. You're a jewel, and we appreciate you. Madam President, back to you.
Thank you so much. And I just want to ditto on that to Gita, because those are some long reports, and she makes them short and concise and so that we can follow them. And we do appreciate that. So we're going to be 92.7% better. All right. Jerry Vincent.
Yes, thank you. This is Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer. Hey, Jenna, congratulations on the increase in your enrollment, and certainly, Lindsay, under your leadership, for sure. Man, there's the budget for next year. That's quite an increase in ADA that you guys are shooting for, but you know what? You guys are going to get it, because you guys are knocking it out of the park under your leadership, right? So, and as Jeff and President Stafford said, 92.7 at or above grade level in mathematics, I would expect nothing less from our math major, area superintendent, Lindsay, and Jenna, certainly. All those successes with your increases in the NWEA, attendance, all of that, you guys are doing a really wonderful job, and we're so grateful for you. So thank you so much. And board, thank you for your just your efficiency and oversight, and your efficiency in this particular meeting, which was quite comprehensive. Thank you.
This is Board President Stanford. I just want to say ditto on all the things that you said. These are crazy times, and you're giving a lot of mental health with all the love and support, and that's what that survey showed. And that's the place those kids can come and feel supported, and they feel like they have somebody to talk to. So thank you so much for that. Any other board members?
Yes, I'll just say ditto to everything that's been said. Thanks, Barbara. Yes, Claudia Beck. Yes, Lindsay, gosh, you guys, Jenna, you guys have really come up. I mean, that has been, the reports are great. You guys are doing so well. We really appreciate it. Math, my goodness, that's superb. Yes, we'll do a little clapping on that one. Thank you.
She's our cheerleader.
Subordinate report. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm done. Go ahead, John.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'd just like to thank Board President Stanford for navigating the board through these comprehensive agendas. Thank you.
The whole button club. We've got to remember to take it off. Anybody else? All right. I would like to tell you that we're going to 8. Our next regular board meeting is July 19th, 2022 at 11. And now we need a motion and a second to adjourn this meeting.
Barbara Wilbrand moves.
Claudia
Lynn has moved. Claudette Beck has seconded. For vote, Carol Sanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone. This meeting is adjourned. That was a wonderful meeting.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Have a great one.
Bye, everyone.